2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read the first 5 verses. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we make known to you, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, to their ability, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or ability, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I want to take the thought of the message from verse 5. First gave their own selves to the Lord. I want to speak upon the subject of first surrender. That should be how we live our lives. First thing we need to do, whatever the situation, is surrender to the Lord. By way of background leading up to the text, which could be another message upon a different, entirely different subject. But in this chapter, and in the following chapter, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, of course, upon the topic of a collection that was being taken for the poor in Jerusalem. Paul had actually been organizing this for several years. Notice in Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, begin reading with verse 25. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, it shall come to pass in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So we see that this collection had been going on for some time. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 17, if we turn there, it is actually brought to a successful conclusion. Acts 24 and verse 17. Now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Speaking of this collection, again, this went on for a span of years. Now, it appears that the Corinthian church heard about this collection that was being taken for the Jerusalem church, and they, again, it appears that they asked Paul what part they might have in it. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul addresses this with the church of Corinth. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Now, the way that's worded is that it had been mentioned before. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And then he follows with some very specific instruction there in verses 2 and 3. But it appears from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that the good intentions of the church of Corinth to give money to the for the church of Jerusalem, that the good intentions had not yet come to fruition. So Paul sent Titus to look into the matter, find out what's going on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice verse 6, "Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he should also finish in you the same grace also." Now, what factors interrupted the intentions of the Corinthians church is unknown. By reading 2 Corinthians 8 and chapters 8 and chapter 9, we can surmise several things, but that's not our intent tonight. But Titus goes there, and no doubt he found that the church of Corinth needed some encouragement concerning this matter, and they needed some rebuke also concerning this matter. And this is what Paul delivers here in chapters 8 and 9. He delivers the encouragement. He also delivers rebuke. In our text, Paul uses the churches of Macedonia, which would be Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. He uses them as an example in this matter of giving to the church of Jerusalem. And we see that in the very first verse. We see it in our text. In verse 7, he states that his desire that ye abound in this grace also, that ye would do as the churches of Macedonia have done. In verse 8, he states that he's not telling them that they have to give. Notice verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." So he states here in verse 8 that I'm not telling you that you have to give, but he uses the example of others to motivate them in this matter, and he desires that they would prove the sincerity of their love by giving toward this offering. And then in verse 9, he gives, of course, the example of Christ, that he was, through his poverty, were made rich. And then in verses 10 and 11, he proceeds to give them some advice. Notice the beginning of verse 10, "And herein I give my advice." So he's just offering some advice to the church of Corinth. And we see this in verses 10 and 11. And what he does is he simply proceeds to encourage them in the matter. And then in verse 12, he encourages them again. Let's read verse 12. He says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." What he's saying to the church of Corinth is, you have a readiness of heart, and if the heart be in it, then the offering will be accepted no matter what the amount. And it appears from verse 13 that the church of Corinth was in a position to contribute financially more than others, especially the churches of Macedonia. And Paul presses them to give according to their means, and he assures them by no means was he intending the entire burden to fall upon them, but that they should have a part in this. In verse 14, we read, "But by an equality." What he's doing here is he's saying the giving is the entire offering is based upon just and equal principles. And he goes on to explain, basically what he's saying is that at present time, you, the church of Corinth, you have an abundance financially. And some of the other churches, they do not. And you're able at this time to provide more than some of the other churches. But what he says is, but the day may come when the reverse is true. As it was with the church of Jerusalem. This offering was being taken up for the church of Jerusalem, the mother church. The offering was being taken up for them. At one time, they were a wealthy church, but now they've fallen upon hard times. And in verse 15, he makes reference to Israel in the gathering of the manna. He says, as it is written, he that had gathered much. Now, we know from the gathering of the manna that they were all that were able were to gather. And when the manna was collected, it was distributed in proportion of an omer, about 16 ounces, to each individual. And some, of course, would be more active than others. Some would be more successful than others in gathering this manna. And this was to, again, they were to share. They were only to take what God told them to take, and then the rest was shared. And the same principle, Paul is telling the church of Corinth here concerning this offering for the Jerusalem church. Paul continues the subject in chapter 9, and for his touching the ministering to the saints, he begins. He's addressing the same subject, except he approaches it from a different aspect. He now approaches it from the grace of God. So Paul, in chapters 8 and 9, is addressing the Corinthian church upon the topic of this financial collection for the Jerusalem church. But in addressing this topic, as was his manner many times, he taught important principles concerning living the life that God has called us to live. And he states one of those principles using the Macedonian churches as an example in verse 5, that they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And all that those words, they first gave them their own selves unto the Lord. If we could get a grasp of that principle and carry it throughout our lives, what a difference it would make. Not only in our own lives, but the lives of others. So we want to consider this statement. First, gave their own selves to the Lord. This was an act. We want to mention six things concerning this. It's what we were speaking upon this morning, that's surrender. That's what it's talking about. So the first thing we want to notice is the meaning of these words. They gave their own selves to the Lord. That means that they presented, they offered themselves to the Lord. They handed over themselves to the Lord. They gave up. They let go. They relinquished possession and claim to their lives. They gave it to the Lord. They committed it to God. They dedicated it to God. That is, they committed and dedicated themselves to the Lord. They yielded to God. They gave way to God. They submitted themselves to the Lord. Why? To be governed by Him. To comply with Him. To conform to Him. So the very words gave their own selves to the Lord. There is a denial of self. They denied themselves. They handed over their entire life to God. What that means is they confined themselves to the Lord. They confined themselves to the Lord. Again, they gave their own selves to the Lord. That is, they lost sight of themselves and they became absorbed with God. This is our primary duty in all things, to give ourselves unto the Lord, to surrender our lives unto God. This is what is being spoken of here. It is a surrender unto God. Now, secondly, notice that this was a complete act. The completeness or the extent of the act is seen in the words, their own selves. He's talking about the fact that the Macedonian churches, they were not wealthy churches. In fact, they were very poor churches, but they gave much in this collection for the church of Jerusalem. But before they did that, they gave themselves unto the Lord. They didn't just give of their time. They didn't just give of their possessions. And God is not asking us to give Him some of our time, to give Him some of our possessions, or our careers, our recreations, and our pursuits. It's much more than that. Certainly it's inclusive of all those things. But it's more far-reaching than those. It's our life that we're to hand over. It's much easier to hand over money than it is your life. And what God requires is our life. Our life in its entirety. Not just parts of it, but our life in its entirety. Our bodies. Again, people will say, it's my body, I can do with it what I want. That's a false premise. It's not your body. God created it, He owns it. It's not yours. But to give our lives to God includes these bodies. It includes our minds, our souls, our very being. We are to give unto God. It is inclusive of every aspect of our life. It is inclusive of every detail of our lives. It is inclusive of every circumstance of our lives. And again, how we need to grasp this truth. Nothing in our lives is off limits to God. Nothing in our lives is to be excluded from God. We're to give our entire self to Him. Again, the act spoken of in our text is they gave their own selves to the Lord. That's more than portions and allotments of time and possessions. See, people today think they've really done something when they allot a certain amount of time to God. God says, I want you. I want all of you. I want your entire being. And people get to thinking they've done a lot. When they've allotted some of their possessions and their plans, they set aside some of their plans for God. God's not impressed. God says, I require all of you. Your entire being. Your entire being. A complete, an entire resignation of our lives to the Lord. Again, they gave their own selves to the Lord. That is, the giving of ourselves with all that we have. Everything that is included in this life is to be given to God. What is spoken of here, they gave their own selves to the Lord, is illustrated throughout the Scriptures. It's illustrated in what David did in the cave, Vidalium, with the water that his three mighty men risked their lives to get for him. And his three mighty men brought that water unto David. And in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 16, it says he poured it out unto the Lord. You remember the story, he said, "Oh, for just a drink of water from my hometown." And off they were to get it through enemy territory. And they bring it to him and he poured it out before the Lord. When you pour something out into the ground, guess what? You can't gather it back up. That's what we're to do with our lives. Our lives are to be poured out unto Him. Never to be taken back again. Never. We also see it's illustrated in what Ornan did unto David. Notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and we preached on this a couple years ago, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." David said, "I'll buy it from you." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it. Take it. You don't have to buy it. You take it to thee. And let my lord and king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings." He says, "I'm not only giving you the threshing floor, I'm giving you the oxen also. And the threshing instruments for wood and for the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. I give it all." So we see, here's another example of what we are to do with our lives. He said, "Take it." And that's what we're to do. "Lord, here am I. Take it. Take it. Take it unto thee and do whatever you please with it. I have no opinions on what you ought to do. Lord, you just take my life and you do whatever you please with that life. Take it all." And that's the extent of how we are to submit, how we are to surrender to the Lord. We see, thirdly, this is a voluntary act. They gave their own selves to the Lord. We read in Exodus 35 and verse 5 of a willing heart. And in verse 21 of the same chapter, we read of a spirit made willing. And in verse 22, of the willing hearted. And in verse 29 of that chapter, a willing offering. And in Judges chapter 5 and verse 2, we read the people willingly offered themselves. This willingness speaks of a readiness. It speaks of an inclination of mind without grudging. They gave themselves to God. And that's what our text is saying also. They were ready to give themselves to God. We ought to always be ready to hand it all over unto God. Ought to always be ready to be willing to hand it over to God. That ought to be our inclination. And we ought to do so without murmur. And without grudging. We are to give ourselves with all that we have. And it's to be voluntary. Because we want to. We want to. We are to be always ready. Again, to give ourselves to God. That's to be our inclination. That's to be our bent. And we're to do so again without murmuring. God has an absolute right to everything. And God has the absolute right to every detail of my life. Everything. Fourthly, This is a foundational act that we read of here in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. They gave their own selves to the Lord. Paul, using the churches of Macedonia as an example in giving, states the root cause, states the foundation of the financial giving of the churches of Macedonia. The motivating cause of their deed was that they gave themselves, their own selves, to the Lord. This is foundational to serving God. That is, this giving ourselves to God gives stability to our lives, just as a foundation. It also gives formation of our lives. We give ourselves unto God. We surrender completely unto God. And that shapes our life. That enables us to have and to maintain a right attitude and spirit. You give yourself unto God as a result of what we saw this morning, a real and personal meeting with God. You can't have a bad attitude. It's impossible. You can't have a bad spirit. It's not possible. It causes us to have a right outlook upon life. It causes us to have a proper perspective upon everything when we give ourselves unto the Lord. And then what we want to realize most of all, the fifth point. This is an act of priority. They first, before they gave one dime toward the collection, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now, I believe that means a couple things. One, it means in preference to everything else, they gave themselves to the Lord. But I believe mostly what it means is that before they performed any other duty, before they performed the duty to give of their finances, they first gave their own selves unto the Lord. That is an invaluable lesson concerning the life that you and I are called to live. The duties of the life that we are called to live are many. We certainly cannot cover them all this evening, or even in our lifetime. The duties that God calls us to perform are many, and they are varied. But what we read here is they gave their own selves to the Lord. That's our primary duty. That's our primary duty. And therefore, it must be a priority. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. If we first, before we do anything else, if we first present, hand over our lives to God, give up our lives to God, let go of our lives, relinquish, commit, dedicate, yield, and submit ourselves to the Lord before we enter any other duty. What a difference it would make in our lives and the lives of others. Again, our duties are many and they are varied. It is our duty to read, to study, to meditate in God's Word. And what a difference it would make before we open this book that we give ourselves unto God. I'm here to tell you, you get a lot more out of the book if you do that first. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. We are to pray. It is a duty. It is a duty for you and I to pray. God expects us to pray. We're to pray concerning ourselves. We're to pray concerning others. And what a difference it would make in our prayer lives if before we prayed, we gave ourselves entirely to the Lord. Prayer would be completely different. It would be completely different. It would transform our prayer lives. We are to seek the Lord. We are to seek God's will in all things. Oh, how many times? How can I know the will of God? Well, the first thing you need to do is submit yourself unto God. That's number one. The very first thing. If you and I would first turn our lives over to God, give ourselves to God, it would make a difference in how we seek the Lord, how we seek His will. We're to do all for His glory. And what a difference it would make if we first gave ourselves to the Lord. We're to worship the Lord. And our worship would be transformed if we first gave ourselves to the Lord. If before we worshiped, and I believe this is part of worship, but if before we go through the act of worship, we first give ourselves to God. Here am I, Lord, take it all. All formality is gone. Worship is transformed. We are to frequent the house of God. And what a difference it would make if before we made our way to the house of God, we first gave ourselves unto the Lord. Oh, what a difference it would make. People would come in this building completely different. And they would leave completely different. But you see, today people think they've done something. They've done something worthy of reward if they come to the house of God. But our primary duty is to give ourselves to God. And all these other things would be transformed if this happens. We're to give tithes and offerings unto the Lord. And how much more pleasing to God if we first give ourselves to the Lord. How offensive it must be to God. He addresses it in the book of Isaiah. To give our tithes and offerings, but the whole time we haven't given ourselves. God says, I'm not interested in your formalities. Away with it. I'm not interested. If we would first give ourselves to the Lord. We are to have a, this is part of our duties. We are to have meaningful relationships with one another as members of the same body. The Bible says that we are to be kind one to another. We are to prefer one another. We are to love one another. We are to edify one another. We are to care for one another. We are to serve one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. And we are to forbear one another and forgive one another. And oh, how these things are enhanced if we first give ourselves to the Lord. These things become a matter of course if you give yourself to God. And if you bypass giving yourself to God, these things are very difficult. That's when people say, oh, it's so hard. Yeah, it is, because you're doing it wrong. You need to start with giving yourself to the Lord. If we first give ourselves to the Lord, think of all the decisions that we make in life. You know how many decisions would never have been made had a person just first gave themselves to God? Had a person, before they made that decision, said, Lord, here am I. Take me. Do whatever you will. People will say, how should we make decisions? Here's where you start. You give yourself unto God. That'll spare you many a bad decision. First, give yourself unto the Lord. There are problems and there are issues in life that we have to face, that we deal with. How do we deal with problems? How do we deal with the issues? You first give yourself unto God. That should be the very first thing you do. And then God will tell you what to do next. There are people that we must deal with. There are people that will anger us. There are people that will frustrate us. What are we to do? First, give yourself unto the Lord. That'll solve a lot of the people problems. Give yourself unto the Lord. Again, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. How can I endure the trials? Start here. Give yourself unto God. Surrender unto God. This is how we overcome. This is how we live above this world. This is where we gain the victory. That we first give ourselves unto God. You see, if a person first gives himself unto God, they're not going to say, I'm going to go live with my girlfriend or I'm going to go live with my boyfriend. You give yourself unto God, that's not even going to enter your mind. This is where we must begin. And it's true in everything in our life. Whatever the issue, whatever the circumstance, it doesn't matter. We are to first give ourselves unto God. Before you get married, give yourself unto God. If you have marital problems, husbands and wives, this is where you start. You both give yourself unto God. Well, we need to sit down and we need to discuss our issues. That may be so. But you first give yourself unto God. And now you're in a position to discuss your issues. But we bypass the very first thing. Children, we don't know what to do with them sometimes. Here's where you start. Moms and dads, first give yourself unto God. You first do that. Oh, how much easier life would be if we just grasp this principle and put it into practice. First, they gave their own selves to the Lord. This is the way to live the most useful and productive life. You may be tempted. You may feel like talking bad about another church member. And you might feel that someone else needs to know, and you want to talk badly about someone. Before you do that, first give yourself unto the Lord. And you might change your mind. First, give yourself unto the Lord. I'm going to go down to so-and-so and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, before you do that, first, give yourself unto the Lord. I'm going to tell so-and-so what I think. Well, before you do that, first, give yourself unto God. Oh, what a difference it would make if this were practiced. This is the way to be a blessing to others. This is a way to make a positive difference in our own lives, in the lives of others, in our families. How many family problems would be avoided, would never come up, if people first gave themselves unto the Lord? How many marriages would be saved if people first gave themselves unto God? How much different the workplace would be if people first, I'm talking about God's people of course, if God's people first gave themselves unto God. And in the church, how much different it would be if each member first gave themselves unto the Lord. You feel anger coming. You feel hurt coming. You feel an offense coming upon you. Those things happen. But before you get carried off in those things, stop and give yourself unto God. And that'll stop a bunch of foolishness. That'll stop a bunch of nonsense. That'll stop a bunch of grieving the Spirit of God. If people would just first give themselves unto the Lord. Oh, how many a fall would we have been spared had we first given ourselves unto God. How many problems and troubles we would have never experienced had we first given ourselves unto God. Sixthly, the magnitude of this act. It cannot be measured. It is seen from the fact in Romans chapter 12. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote the first 11 chapters dealing with doctrinal truths. He then comes, beginning with chapter 12, he begins to make application of those doctrinal truths. And where does his application begin? Verse 1 of chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's where it begins. And you read through Romans chapter 12, and there's duty upon duty mentioned. He says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. And on he goes, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. How do you do all of these things? You first give yourself unto the Lord. That's where it begins. And the magnitude of it is seen in Paul saying, I beseech you. I beseech you. I plead with you that you surrender your life to God. That shows the magnitude that Paul here is pleading with these saints to surrender. To surrender unto God. So the thought is, give yourself to God. Again, the truth of that is, the result of that is a meeting with the Lord. And it comes about. We are to first surrender. You may be faced tomorrow morning with a decision. And someone may tell you, I need an answer right now, right this second. Well, I'm sorry. But if you hadn't already given yourself to the Lord, you better wait. Nothing's that important. You give yourself first to the Lord. Then you make your decision. But you give yourself first to the Lord. And that's in every decision we ever have to make. All that we would learn to live this truth. First, surrender. First, surrender to God. Before you enter into a debate, before you enter into an argument with somebody, and sometimes that's necessary, but first, surrender to God. First, surrender to God. Perhaps you have to go and rebuke somebody. First, surrender to God. You may be right. You may be 100% right. But you better first surrender to God. Because you can become wrong pretty quick if you don't. First, surrender to God. Before you enter into any earthly or spiritual duty, we need to emulate the churches of Macedonia. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. I believe that's where we ought to start every single day. The truth is, we have to continue every single day. Before anyone ever gets up and preaches, they better first give themselves unto the Lord. Before anyone ever gets up to teach a lesson or to give a devotion or to do whatever, we are to first give ourselves unto the Lord. Everything's easier when we do it God's way. Everything. I'm not saying it's easy, but everything's easier if you do it God's way. And God's way is, you first surrender to Him. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more important than that. You surrender to Him. And then you proceed on. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.